This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Marcus Johnson here on a Bucks Tuesday, brought to you by Frontier Motor Cars, your new car alternative on South 27th Street. Get your car, get your credit, and a warranty as well. FrontierMotorCars.net. That's FrontierMotorCars.net. Marcus Johnson, Bucks TV analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Marcus, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful on this beautiful, sunny Milwaukee day.
Yeah, well, a little snow on the ground. It feels like it's January, getting ready to go into February, so we're right where we should be. Talk about the Bucks, because some people say they're not where they should be. They should have more wins in the W column. So, yes or no? I mean, have they just kind of played the way you thought they would play, or has it been a little bit disappointing thus far?
You know, I guess maybe a little disappointing, but not majorly. I mean, look, I mean, this team right now, I remember this time last year, and this is what the healthy Jabari and Giannis having, the kind of year he was having, and we were right in the midst of a streak where we were losing like 12 out of 14 games, and it was just really hard to figure out what was going on. And, you know, we were leading up to that turnaround in February. I think it was right after Jabari got hurt. Chris came back February 8th, and that's when we made the playoff push last year. You know, I think kind of, but you look at the teams that we struggled with. I mean, Indiana playing out of their minds with Victor Oladipo. Toronto having a season kind of a remade team in terms of playing more modern style of basketball, where they're shooting a lot more threes this year. They're one of the most efficient and effective teams in the league this year. I mean, this stretch of games right now in January, we've been through nine. We're 4-5 right now since the beginning of the year. And my thing is that over 11 games, if we can win 6 out of 11, that would be a success based on the difficulty that I saw looking at this schedule. I mean, it's a tough, tough schedule the first 2 weeks of January. So, I mean, you know, we're 4-5, like to be 5-4. But so when I say a little bit disappointed, it's not by much, but this team, I think, still has a really high ceiling and will get better, especially once Jabari Parker comes back around the middle of next month or so, once he gets it back into the lineup.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because the anticipation is that this team then gets that piece and then starts to put them over the top. Now, he's been out of ball for a while. You got to give a guy time to shake the rust off and get in the rhythm of things. But, you know, how healthy is Jabari Parker, and do you think – that, I mean, for all the, you know, reports that we hear, he's ready to go. Are they being too cautious with him?
No. I mean, you could never be, I think, too cautious in a situation where you've got a player who's, you know, hurt the same knee twice in the short span of time that he had that injury with his knee. So you really want to make sure that you know, you kind of stick to the process, stick to the game plan in terms of strengthening and going incremental steps, giving him more and more to do, whatever the timetables that you set up for him to reach those goals. So no, but I've watched him in practice. He's dropped probably 10 pounds. I mean, I'm just kind of eyeballing it. I don't know for certain, but he looks thinner. He looks faster. He's, you know, always jumps out the gym. He's jumping even higher. You know, of course, it's going to be that mental aspect the first, you know, couple of weeks or so when he comes back, but that's what kind of settling him back between the herd and Oshkosh and with the Bucks, and then practicing on a regular basis and getting some reps, 5-on-5, going up and down the court, just trying to get him comfortable. And look, we can't expect him to come in and, you know, be this savior that all of a sudden miraculously turns this thing around. But when you look at the added depth that he's going to get you on that front line, a front line that has the top 2 minutes played guys in the league this year, Giannis and Chris, maybe Chris and Giannis now, you know, he'll be a welcome sight. Now, it's going to take some time just in terms of chemistry, working him back in and kind of getting a rhythm and a flow with the team, because they hadn't played with him all season long. But, I mean, he'll be a welcome sight, trust me.
How much does he work with the team? Now, I know he's practicing, but how much does he work, say, with Giannis or with Middleton or with Bledsoe? How much does he get a chance to actually work with those guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, from what I have observed, and again, this is just me coming sporadically into practice, you know, when I'm in town, when I'm doing games, but But he gets a lot of work, not necessarily with Kristaps Porzingis, but a lot of work going against Kristaps Porzingis. And I'm sure that approach will change as we get closer to the appointed time when he's supposed to return. But Frank Johnson, who the Bucks have hired this year as an assistant coach, has kind of been responsible. And Frank's responsibilities extend more than just kind of getting him back in shape physically. He's really done a good job, I think, just working with him mentally in terms of seeing the game as an offensive player a little differently than what he's done in the past. And that's you know, looking for his outside shot, being able to create some space and do some things off the dribble a little bit more effectively. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, but again, we can't expect miracles because everybody's got to get adjusted to Jabari, who's an aggressive offensive player. But I think once they do, Jabari's ability to create his own shot, his ability to get out and transition and do some things and finish and offensive rebound and all those good things that he was known to do. And based on what I've seen so far, he's going to be just as good. It's going to help this team a whole lot.
Can you tell me what they're doing with Rashad Vaughn? We talked about this the other day, and Rashad Vaughn has not had hardly any playing time. There was a lot of discussion as to whether or not he could become that shooting guard or even a point guard that Jason Kidd was going to work with him and develop him in this sense. But he's not finding the court at all. Can you tell me exactly why, or is it just it's just rotation and there's just not time for him?
Well, you know, remember, Rashad is still 21 years old. He's still a really young player. It's his third year or so in the league right now. So that cannot be used as an excuse. But when he came in as a 19-year-old out of UNLV, he played only 17 games and missed a large chunk of that season. Being a young player, it's just hard for him to get the reps on the court in games that it's kind of a catch-22 that he needs to get his confidence going. But I think in terms of what Jason is looking for, I mean, you take a guy like Sterling Brown right now who comes into the games and makes an immediate impact on the defensive end, and just the energy level picks up, and everything he's doing is kind of positive. I mean, Rashad is going to have to try and kind of plug into that kind of style of play. That's why DeAndre Liggins, when he was here, he was getting a lot of minutes, and people didn't understand why, but you just watched what he was doing defensively, and the hustle and the intensity and the focus that he was executing the game plan defensively with. I think those are probably areas, again, I'm not speaking for Jason Kidd, but just, you know, as a close observer, what's going on. I mean, you just want a little bit more than Rashad is probably giving you on a consistent basis. He's had his moments. He's had great moments. And he's actually played some pretty solid defense from the time I've seen him on the floor. But it's just there's those other times when there's those lapses that make you wonder whether or not he's ready to take on what he needs to take on as a consistent role player.
Talking with Marcus Johnson, Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin, between Giannis and Middleton getting a ton of minutes, as a matter of fact, pretty much leading the NBA. Is it concerning how many minutes these guys are playing right now and you're only through the halfway point of the season?
You know, and I made that point, and people kind of pounced on it and saying that, well, Marcus says they're playing too many. No, my point was more that they're playing the first and second most minutes in the league. I think Chris may have passed Giannis by, you know, fractions of a point. Both about 37 minutes somewhere in their game. Chris's best or career high minutes was a couple of years ago. We played 36 minutes. Then you look at the thing I look to add too is also just kind of defensive miles covered per game. I mean, how much running around are you doing defensively? And both these guys are in the top five in that category also. And Jrue Holiday, I think Victor Oladipo, a couple other guys that are up there in defensive miles covered. So it's a lot of wear and tear that they've gone through. And my point is that this time of year, you should expect them to be a little fatigued and a little bit of a wall. And guys have a tendency, based on my observation over the years, and as a player, you know, you get around the All-Star break, you get a few days off, you refocus because now you know what your target is in terms of how many games you have to win to finish where you want to finish in terms of playoff pecking order. So things kind of change, dynamics change, kind of that second part of the season after the All-Star break. But this is the time of year when guys get tired. I don't care who you are. You're playing these kinds of minutes, you're gonna wear it down a bit, and you're seeing that with Giannis. Sometimes with his finishes on Chris, sometimes going to the basket, maybe not finishing as strongly as we would like. And I think a little bit of that has to be attributed to fatigue.
Real quick before I let you go, and we see what the Cleveland Cavaliers are going through right now. There's a lot of finger-pointing, some infighting, rumors of things like that. We know Boston's kind of running away with the conference, but is this about as wide open as it's been in a long time in the East?
Yeah, it is. And Cleveland, you know, you look at that team and you just hard to understand why they're 29th in terms of defensive rating. I know that you have some issues with Kevin Love, but you also got some solid guys like Tristan Thompson, some other guys that can play some pretty good defense, Jay Crowder, other guys like that. And so everybody is kind of still trying to figure things out. Nobody, even Boston, you know, I'm still not sold because of the relative youth of their front line, Jaylen Brown and Tatum, first and second year players. I mean, how did that hold up in a tough second round of the playoffs? You know, we still don't know. Toronto playing great right now, but they've got a lot of guys that are contributing. Van Vliet, the Wright. DeLon Wright is playing well for them. Some young guys, they supplanted some older experienced veterans with some youth. And so you still don't know where that's going to shake out in a playoff-type format. So I think it's still wide open. I mean, you know, the Bucks right now are just, what, a game and a half between the sixth spot and the fourth spot right now. So a lot can happen. And, you know, the way we played in Washington yesterday was really, really impressive to me, based on it being a second day of a back-to-back afternoon games, just having beaten the Wizards 9 days earlier, so they were looking for some revenge, or five days earlier, to beat them in that short span of time, two times in a row at their place, was really, really a positive sign that this team is still holding strong. I mean, we're not doing exactly what we all want them to do right now, but I still think we're headed in the right direction, and that's the most important thing.
Marcus, always a pleasure. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes. We appreciate it, okay?
All right, man. Always, man. Thank you.
There you go. Marcus Johnson, Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin, breaking down the Bucks for us for just a little bit. Always appreciate it when he joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.